Okay, so welcome back to Don't Mention the Football podcast. We're back for a proper show this time, hopefully, after the last time. Yes, absolutely. Try to work on the sound quality a little bit because we're still using Skype, which is not ideal, but hey, such is life. Looking at a few things in this podcast. First of all, the home game against Wolfsburg, and then our travels away to Gelsenkirchen. So that's the sort of two main focus points of this show. But before we get going, I want to have a couple of quite big shout-outs to people out there that live in the real world. One of which is Jan, our normal sort of co-host. Jan and Esther, who've had a new young baby arrive, so have been sort of a little bit indisposed for the last few weeks. So a big shout out to them, and hope you guys are okay and everything's sort of working out well out there. Because I've certainly been there before in the past with young ones, and it can be a bit of a challenge at times. So big shout out to Jan and Esther and Alison Rose. Now, young Patrick here.
Sorry, should I jump in now or should I wait?
Absolutely, dive in there.
Okay, I guess, I mean, as you mentioned, we are, running this off the seat of our pants or something. So hello, this is Patrick, the occasional guest or slash co-host or whatever. And the
Quite regular
sound you're
guests,
hearing
actually.
right now is half the listeners turning off. So hello everyone, and here we have Canadian Connection going on strong. Cynthia, hello.
Hello, everyone.
So I hope you guys are doing okay. And yes, Simon, good point mentioning Jan. Jan, I hope you're doing okay. Congrats to both of you. And I cannot speak from experience when it comes to having a kid or whatever, but what can I say? I guess it's filled with awesome moments and filled with daily grind as well. And that's it. I'm like hanging there. And congrats again. And we are looking forward to having you back on the podcast for sure.
Absolutely. We've got another shout out to make.
Oh,
Ooh.
yep. Sorry, I forgot. There is another shout. I mean, you mentioned two shout outs
I
actually.
did.
I got to represent my side of the Atlantic, and I gotta give a shout out to Ayrton North America. His name is Brian, last name unknown. It used to be Zelke. Now it's Luby something. I cannot pull the name right now. I'm sorry. So yeah, Brian, mystery man, he set everything up. He, recruited us like if we were spies, like secret assassins. Maybe we are. Please don't arrest me. But no, yeah, good job on doing all that work. And it's really nice to have a like a voice from across the pond, from the new world. Because I gotta admit, at some point, I felt like Robinson Crusoe on his own island. Yelling at the cloud, and why does Erta suck so much at the end of the season, and blah blah blah. So yeah, it's nice to be part of the group, and congrats again, and hanging there. We will. We should survive this season.
Fingers crossed, hey. It
yeah,
feels a bit
exactly.
like it in England, to be quite honest. With a hurt, I don't actually know anybody else anywhere vaguely near me that supports Hertha. Most people haven't even heard of them, let alone support them. But
I mean, I think I think I remember seeing someone on Twitter. Like Erta Ireland or something.
Yes. I met some of those guys.
So we are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to all those fine people, and to the occasional people that we interact with on Twitter.
Hello there.
It's been it's been a roughish start of the season.
It certainly has. Yeah. It's nice to, well, I don't know if nice is the right word, but it's the same old as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, but they did to have a really strong start and really fade down the stretch.
Yeah.
But maybe they are switching things around this year. Who knows?
Well, I'm really kind of hoping so. Otherwise, it's not boding well. But what can we say? We're used to these trials and tribulations with Hertha. It's just what they do. Moving into that first game against Wolfsburg, went in there feeling quite positive personally. Thought we had a decent shout at this, especially after playing Bayern and getting a draw away. Decent sort of crowd there. I think it was, 42,500, something like that, from what I can remember. And I was saying earlier on that to Patrick and Cynthia that it was a pretty warm weekend, because I think the official sort of figure for the game was 31 degrees, which, for a northern European kind of guy like me, that's quite warm. it cooled down gradually sort of during the course of the game, but I've probably got a fairly narrow band of temperatures that I'm comfortable in. Sorry, you were saying?
How do you remember the atmosphere at the stadium? Was it like, bustling and people were ready to go, were pumped up, or it was
It was pretty good most of the time. Near the end, it sort of tailed off a bit. They weren't quite so fired up, but even after losing, I think, we'll talk about this sort of game in a minute, but even after losing, the team went up to the Ostkurve and, they were sort of singing and chanting and what have you, to the team. Even though the things had gone sort of pretty catastrophically wrong, the support was still there, which was nice to see.
Yeah.
And I think they've come unstuck before in the past where things have gone. I mean, there was one game with Dardai in charge sort of earlier on, I think, where it all went horribly wrong, and he took the team off and he took them down the tunnel without, going up to see the fans, and that went down like a lead balloon with the fans. It really, really did. But perhaps they've learnt their lesson with that one.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's the least that they can do. Like, if they don't show up during the game, the least they could do is show up to the Ostkurve after the game.
Absolutely.
It's not much, but
It's something at least. Well, I mean, the thing is, if the fans have been supporting, they've been sort of chanting and singing and what have you throughout the whole game, no matter how sort of badly wrong it's gone, they've done their bit, so the team should acknowledge that. And fair play to them, they did, and they were sort of received quite warmly for it.
Absolutely.
Which was...
I'm cutting in. Yeah, Skype, that's the joy of Skype. I remember now, Weghorst scored on the penalty at the 9th minute of the Wolfsburg game. I don't remember how things went before that penalty. Like, I don't remember if Hertha was really hanging in there, or they were just, holding on for dear life.
Straight away, there was a penalty shout at the other end. Now, what was it that actually sort of went on? I think it was Duda. That's right. He did a really sort of jigging turn and skipped past the defender, more or less in the middle of the pitch, and went running on into the box. And from the stands, it really looked like he'd been hacked before he could get a shot away. The place went absolutely nuts. The guy behind, you sort of turn around and high five and things. Oh, this is good. Within a few seconds, it looked like they'd got a penalty. Went to VAR at the time. And of course, in the ground, you can't see anything. You don't really know what's going on, but it was disallowed.
Okay.
But I've seen the sort of highlights with close ups and things afterwards. And the guy that tackled him, yes, he did sort of yeah, sort of trip him, but he got the ball first, and that's why it wasn't given.
Ah, okay.
He sort of put his foot around, kicked the ball out the way, and then Dudar went over, you know, the leg that was left there after kicking the ball. So, you know, it seemed outrageous at the time, and people weren't very happy about it. But fair play. So we did have some chances, but the penalty was just crazy. You know? Rekic came sort of steaming in like a flipping train. I'm sure he was trying to get the ball, like the guy did at the other end, but he just didn't do it quite so well. And his leg went, I mean, it wasn't dangerous or anything, but I mean, his leg went right across the, you know, the striker, and I don't know what he thought he was doing. He was never going to get that ball.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have a like a direct connection to their brain sometimes. You know, ask them what were you thinking? Like
sometimes I don't think I want to know.
You know,
oh dear. You know, I'm not going to get sort of too you know funny about it, because he's done some. He saved our bacon lots of times in the past, Rekic.
That's true.
He can be very good. So, you know, we all have bad days. So, yeah, I just wish we didn't
and
have so many.
Didn't, like, from what I could remember, it doesn't. I don't remember anyone having a really good game. You know, that Wolfsburg game, it was something to forget. Like, it stayed 1-0 until the 82nd
yeah,
minute.
It did. Yeah.
And then it became 2-0, 2-0, and then another goal at the 90th minute. Final nail of the coffin.
It just sort of fell apart that last little bit. I mean, there were sort of chances and things in between. Sort of Kalou had a decent sort of header, and there was a lovely little bit with Dudar who did, you know, quite a strong back heel into the path of Gruitch, who was sort of charging in, and he really sort of wellied it in towards the keeper. The keeper was—it was more or less going straight at him, but it was coming in so hot and fast, he couldn't, you know, sort of catch it or smother it. It just bounced off. Gruitch hit it again, and the defender came through, was stuck a foot out, and blocked it on the way through. So, I mean, there were chances. It's not as if we were completely whitewashed.
But well,
it all went to pieces in that last little bit. The defence didn't sort of cover themselves in glory there terribly well either, from what I can recall. I mean, that's the thing that really sort of comes out of this, I think.
Like they say, it's nice when you come close, but it only counts in two sports, darts and I don't know what the English word is, but like a horseshoe.
Horseshoes?
You throw a horseshoe around the, you know.
I know what you mean, but is it just called horseshoes? I don't know.
I thought it was called horseshoeing, yeah.
It probably is, I don't know.
I know what you mean, because I'm sure I've seen it somewhere or other, but probably in a cowboy film or something, I expect. I don't know.
There's a technical word out there for it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Blowed if I know it.
So. Anyone can feel to message us and let us know.
Yeah, I mean, my excuse is.
Send us information to DMTF podcast.
And what's our excuse, Simon? We're not sure yet.
Oh, dear. Yes, I'm English. That's good enough. You know what? What can I say?
That's a good answer.
It is. Yeah, these days in particular, yeah.
It seems like, it looked like there were 42,738 people at the Olympiastadion watching that disaster unfold.
32,000?
42,000.
And what's full?
75 or 77?
I think it's 76 something. Unless they put the extra staging in the marathon tour gap, so you know that's
such more than that.
Yeah,
that's reasonable for most clubs, only because the stadium's so big.
Yeah, exactly. And like for the beginning of the season against a team that's not high profile, it's a regular number. It's a normal number.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, have known plenty worse. Right. So, yeah, they don't think you can really gripe too much about the attendance, but yeah,
not for now.
No, it could get a lot worse. I think one of the offenders, though, it has been sort of very good in other games for those last two goals. I think Klunter was at least sort of partly responsible for that in some ways. Because for the second one, it was, I think, Brekalo or somebody like that, that sort of, yeah, skipped past Klunter and he sort of got in. And Rekic and Stark, I suppose, were thinking that Klunter had it covered, so they were sort of staying back in case, you know, something else happened by their side. But once he got past Klunter, bang, in it goes.
Okay.
You know, we just looked like we were just standing around, really. And it was a similar kind of thing in some ways with the third goal. Again, the Roussillon or something like that was right out on the left-hand side. And he was unmarked, basically. So the ball went over to him. It was a crossover from right to left, I think. And he was unmarked. And by the time Klunter got anywhere near him, the shot was already away. And there you go, 3-0. So bit of a disaster on the defensive front, really, I think it's fair to say. So that was a bit depressing.
I mean, it seems like with Dardai last year, I never had the impression that the defense was the big problem.
No.
Most of the time. But so far this year, that seems to be the case. I mean,
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's been highlighted by the goals that have gone in. I mean, conceding, three, six, eight goals in the first three games? Is that really right? God.
Three-nil losses in a row. That wouldn't look good on anyone.
It's not good stats.
Yeah, own goals and all, but still, that's not a good look.
That's insult to injury. That the own goals and the penalties conceded. Wasn't it last season we did the same thing with penalties? We had almost like a penalty every game for about the first 20 games or something crazy. Was that the season before? I forget.
I guess there weren't that many goals from open play, but you know, you don't get style points, not the good thing. So a goal is a goal, and you know, you got to move on.
I think that we've still got the same problem that we've always seemed to have had to some extent, that we can sort of pass the ball, you know, reasonably nicely around the midfield. But where we really come unstuck is that last pass, being able to put the strikers in a position where they can just slot it. We always seem to lose it, or, you know, put the pass in and it's not quite right. It goes over the top. It goes too short. Somebody intercepts it. There's a lot of that going on, really. I mean, there was a few cases during the course of that game where people sort of fluffed shots, but you're virtually always going to get that. But they need to get enough service in order to be able to, you know, get a goal every now and again. And it's not happening much at the moment. So a combination of that and then defence doing rather silly things every now and again.
They need combo to find their finishing touch in the last third.
Yeah,
you know, around the opponent's goal.
They've done some quite clever things leading up to it. I mean, that back heel in that Baltimore game was really pretty. That was nice to see, and it'd been fantastic if that, because it was a really hard shot come thundering in. If that had gone in, you'd have been sort of singing the praises of that one for ages. But it didn't. So.
Goal of the week.
what can you say? And it,
you take what you can get, you know.
It didn't get any better the following game, unfortunately.
There's not that much to take from a 3-0 loss, you know.
So we were kind of hoping that it would sort of get better going away to Gelsenkirchen even. But that didn't go to plan either, really, unfortunately. What happened during the course of that one? We started off with
the game against Schalke.
Schalke, yeah. There were some defensive disappointments in that one as well.
Oh yeah, two own goals in 10 minutes. I mean, yeah.
Should we stop talking now?
Two goals, but still, that's not ideal.
No, really isn't. No,
And because the rest of the stats, they looked okay. Hertha dominated. Possession was, from what I can see here, was 57-43 for Schalke, but shots on goal, they were fairly even.
Yeah. They just didn't nail them.
No crosses. Schalke had a lot more fouls. One yellow card each side. So, two on goal, that's not going to kill any team, pretty much.
No. No, well, so, what can you say?
Really, I mean, bad. I think I'll get more wine.
Yeah, it's always a good thing.
Very wise. I'll top up my beer.
Yeah, exactly. Hold my beers.
Yes.
Hold my vodka. Hold my rum.
Okay, you need a bit of a refill.
Do I?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you.
Dear listener, we're just going to take a small drinking break here. I'm going to go and top up my beer.
Against the Wolfsburg, there were a few water breaks, right?
There were. Yes, it was quite warm. I think there was two. I think. I sent some.
Yeah.
I sent a tweet, or perhaps it was something on WhatsApp. I don't know about a Trinkenpause. With a little beer glass,
yeah,
and what
exactly.
Have you. And people did just that. They came back with these huge, great, big plastic pots filled with beer. So good on them.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, as if they needed an excuse to get more beer.
Not really.
You know,
no, let's be honest about it.
And people still get bombed. You know, some things never change. And yeah, that's fun.
Oh, there was a funny thing in the stadium.
You know,
I think they might have been. It might have been English. There were some guys at the front. One of them was fairly well gone on the beer, I think. And he was standing up, and he was trying to sort of get the crowd shouting in some I've forgotten what it was now. It was some little chant, or I've forgotten exactly how it went now. But it wasn't anything that normally happens at Hertha, and. He was having a very nice time. He was enjoying himself, but nobody was really taking any notice of him. It was quite comical to watch, really. He wasn't close enough to be able to hear as to whether he was English or not, but something made me think he might have been. But anyway.
It's always a risk when you're trying to get other people in the crowd involved. Either you're going to get a great reaction, or you might get the punch in the face.
I think people were just. I think people were generally, especially in our block, because they're sort of quite mellow for the most part. We just thought it was quite amusing. he was fairly well gone, but he was all pretty happy and jolly. So there was no argy bargy going on. Anyway.
Oh, good. I mean, if what you're if what you're watching on the pitch. If that's diabolical, if that's dire, might as well get your fun from
in,
the crowd
in some other way. Yes. Well, like I said before, it's if things are really grim, you could always sort of watch the Ostkurve, because that's always entertaining, I find. You always
Absolutely.
Admire that scene. It's one of the joys of going to the place. Anyway.
Absolutely. So. One thing I did forget to mention at the beginning is it's turning into some kind of a running gag, maybe, but the meaning, the true deep meaning of DMTF, the essence of life from that acronym, we need your suggestions. We need to find out the true meaning of it. So if you can figure it out, if you have a flash of brilliance, a nugget of wit or something, please send it to the DMTF account on Twitter. It is at DMTF podcast. So, everybody knows that it's don't mention the foosball, but so many things that could be so more entertaining or enlightening, you know.
This is your opportunity, dear listener, to be creative. And
Exactly. And, you know, sweep us off our feet, and maybe you could, you know, co-host the podcast at some point.
That's so romantic.
Yeah, exactly. The sky is the limit, you know. So yeah, I mean, next the White House or 10 Downing Street.
Yes.
Oh, who knows? I mean, yeah,
nobody wants to go to 10 Downing Street anymore.
Either of those places, please, because like a trained monkey would be better at that job than whoever's got those jobs right now. But that's another subject,
yeah.
Another topic.
Yes.
So speaking,
I'm kind of hoping that the dog that Boris has had. Oops, sorry. I was kind of hoping that the dog that Boris had delivered a few days ago, that the dog's going to be taking over, because he'll be doing a better job, I think. But we're not here to talk about politics, other than just say, fuck the Tories.
Yeah, exactly. How tempting that might be. So, yeah, going from two shit shows, to a shit show against Wolfsburg to another shit show against Schalke.
Yeah.
Please, let's get it out of the way so we can move on with our lives.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes. Get rid of all the pain in sort of one show, and then it'll be all fine after that, I think. Well, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, hopefully.
It didn't start all off
right,
too
so
badly,
yeah.
as I recall it, anyway. There was a few sort of shots. I think Derrida had one sort of, pop from distance. It wasn't really sort of hard enough, but and also it went wide, which is unfortunate. And then Lukabakio had another shot that was blocked, which is a shame. But hey, at least that one was on target, I think. I did notice in the commentary, because I listened to some German highlights and what have you, for that game, because I couldn't sort of see it in real time. And they said that Hertha were in reaction mode, I think is the term that they used. And then not that long after that, it was very much like that, really, because basically they were just sort of scurrying around the place, just trying to get rid of it. Unsuccessfully after a short period of time, but that's an unusual sort of thing for a commentator to say. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that about a team. It's just unfortunate that it was ours that he was talking about.
It's really interesting though. Like, it might make a lot of sense. Schalke. Right now, I think they are ninth, like mid-table.
Mm.
They are not bad, but they are not, you know, world beaters.
Mm.
So it would probably have been possible to take the game to them, like, you know, attack a little bit, be more aggressive. I know that it was an away game, but I don't know. Maybe it would have been worth a try this time.
You'd think, but. Apparently not. There was a few sort of flurries and things at the start where they were having a bit of a pop. But the trouble is, not that far into it, I can't remember when that first goal, have you got that written down somewhere, where the first goal against Schalke was conceded?
Yes, it was own goal from
Stark
at the 38th minute.
Well, that was sort of fairly well in, I guess. But the trouble is, when something like that happens, especially in the light of what had happened against Wolfsburg with those two goals near the end where the defence was just sort of chopped up. The own goal from Stark was bizarre.
An own goal a few minutes before the half, that's gonna cut your legs off. Most likely, you know. And then 3 minutes after the start of the second half, at the 48th minute, Rekic has an own goal as well.
It's so almost like a perfect storm, isn't it, really? Because
it turned into 2-0 Schalke, and it was, you know, ball game at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to concede not that long before half-time and then pretty well straight after half-time doing it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And after that, Schalke scored another one at the 85th.
But by then it was, I wouldn't say okay, over, but done. I mean, that was just that was just some gorilla glue around the final nail of the coffin, I think, that when it came down to it, which is more than a little bit worrying. I mean, I mentioned earlier on with the Starkholm goal, and seeing that, it would have been a cracking shot as a striker. I don't know what he was doing. The ball was coming in from the right hand side, and he sort of chink chink, and he stuck his boot out and just kicked it in the goal past Jahrstein. I don't know why he was even doing it. To come in from further up the field and stick your foot out like that with a ball that's coming across the goal. I mean, that was always going to end in tears unless he got underneath it and lifted it over the top, which he didn't. Which wouldn't have done his confidence any good in the defence. I mean, the own goal after half-time with Rekic wasn't quite so bad. Rekic was coming charging in. I'm sure what was in his mind was to be able to do an off-the-line clearance. But all in effect happened is, the ball came across, he was coming charging in, in his mind at least, trying to do a clearance, and it just came off him and went into the goal. Two key defenders there, both making, especially Stark, less so Rekic, to make those kind of mistakes. Confidence in that defence must be a bit shot, really.
Yeah, I mean, right now they have an international break. I think Stark was named on the German team, I think.
Well, I hope he doesn't do like he did in that game. I think.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, he could, if he's got a few more own goals in his system, he might as well get them out of the way during the international break. So he should be fine during the rest of the Bundesliga season. But right now there is an international break. And the next game will be on September 14th. The Saturday following, nine days. It's against Mainz.
Yeah.
Which are last in the Bundesliga right now, three straight losses. So it's in mind.
Having said that, that's only two below us. So
they have to win that one.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's only two below us, by the way.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's not that much room below.
Elba, no, not really.
Mainz is there right now. So if they don't win that, it would be time to. I mean, I'm not talking about sacking the coach or nothing. Let's not go crazy. But it might be time to rethink the strategy, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, you can only be unlucky so much. Bad luck is a factor, but eventually it's got to be something else.
If things
keep turning out for the worst.
Yeah. I mean, we did quite well against Bayern, but these last two games have been worrying. I mean, the two goals we did score against Bayern... So, Lukaku, wasn't it? Was one, and then Gruitch. Those were both, very nice goals.
That's true, and that might be part of the, I'm going to say, quote unquote problem. Like the first game against, the juggernaut Bayern, the cockroaches, as I call them.
Yes.
A draw against Bayern on the first game of the season. That's encouraging.
Yes. Yes.
And then these two abortions in a row, 3-0, twice. Yeah.
You can live without that.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Shit or something. Sorry.
Perhaps that would be a good title. Dr. Jackal and Mr. Shit.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, the title of the episode right there.
It could be.
You got it.
I think you got that one right.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
There we go. You're on a roll. Yeah. I don't know.
And the game after that will be against Paderborn,
yeah,
at the Olympiastadion. And I will grace the Olympiastadion with my presence. And so will you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, we can wave across the stadium.
Yes, and yeah, Cynthia will be there as well. So hopefully she will, yes, be a good luck charm. And
yes.
Yeah.
And we're expecting another time some expert commentary about how it all went.
Fingers crossed.
From Cynthia, that is.
There you go.
So,
yes. Forward to that.
Yes, indeed. Prost.
It seems we're having more drink breaks now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we keep,
as the podcast goes on,
we keep talking about horrible results. So, you know, we have to deal with that. We have to cope with that.
You have to have strategies to overcome that that stress.
Mm-hmm. It comes to that point. Yeah. But I don't think we did a pre-season episode, right?
No.
So I don't remember if we ever did a proper prediction for the season.
No,
or did we?
I certainly didn't. And in the light of what's just happened, I think we're going to be fairly well down there. It's in the light of what's just happened. And something like that can turn around sort of quite quickly. As you said before, I think it's possible that this time we're going to get off to a bad start, and then we're going to pick up in the second part of the season, or even later in the Hinrunde is a possibility. Well, I certainly hope so, because traditionally we've done quite well in the first half of the season, and then after Christmas.
Yeah.
It's probably too many mince pies or something, and we've just sort of
crashed. Yeah, they really fade down the stretch.
Yeah,
because you know there is definitely some talent on that team, and most predictions I've seen online, I remember I think a couple of pundits had them at sixth, which is a little high, I think.
But I think
most of the people had them at between 10th and the 13th, maybe,
yeah,
which sounds okay.
That sounds more plausible.
So,
but as you say, there is some talent there. There really is.
I
mean, like I've said sort of a couple of times already. I mean, that shot from Gruch, that was a really sort of thunderbolt coming in from the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a great goal. Could have been. And the little back heel that was before it. I mean, if that had been pulled off, I mean, that would have been amazing. So we can do it, but it's just, I don't know, that final third, they just don't seem to be able to. I mean, that's an ongoing issue with Hertha, I think. The defensive mess ups, that could just sort of disappear in a puff of smoke, because both Stark and Rekic have done really good things before in the past. He wouldn't be getting call-ups for the national team, Stark, if he hadn't done good things before in the past. Okay, he's had a bit of a rough time recently, but that's hopefully just a temporary thing.
Yeah, I don't think there is any reason to be alarmed yet. The international break will come in at a great time.
Yeah,
actually. And I am not the optimistic type actually, but I am fairly confident that they can.
You're a Hertha and Arsenal fan.
Straighten it out, you know, figure it out from that point on. And let's wait a few more weeks to panic. Panic is not a good. Panic is an option. maybe not a good one.
I reserve my option to panic later.
I'm sorry?
I said I reserve my right to panic later.
Oh yeah, Georgie, I have my panic card in my hand at all times.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's wait a little bit, just a little bit more.
Anyway, so unless you can think of anything else, have we got a wrap?
Anything comes to mind?
Anything else? Let's just see. The next game on the 21st, is there anything that we need to do to be prepared for this game? Do we need extra beer? Do we need wine?
Probably.
Yes,
probably. Take the Irish approach and arrive at the game half cut already, and then you're well prepared.
All right.
You mentioned the Hatter Island people. Some of those guys they arrive at the game and they're well slaughtered already.
Nice.
I was going to meet them afterwards to try to do it. Try and do an interview at once, and it didn't really work out. But there. Another shout out for Smitty from Belfast. I don't know if he listens to this show or not, but I'll say it anyway. He got elected as a Green councillor in Belfast. So good on him, I say.
Nice.
Met him a couple of times outside the ground. Nice guy. Anyway, yes.
Good.
The Irish approach is to go there well tanked up already, and then if it all goes badly, yeah, you're most of the way to safety already.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Works for them.
But like Paderborn, I think they were promoted a few years ago, weren't they? And they got relegated immediately afterwards.
Ooh, don't remember that. I remember playing them in the Zweite Liga years ago. Perhaps you're right. I mean, you've got to think of them as being, sort of not the strongest team in the lead in the league, but time will tell, I guess. The trouble is, I mean, sometimes do really well against quite good teams, and then we completely fluff it against teams where you'd think we would do better.
It sounds like, as people who care. No, I am an Arsenal fan, and that sounds like Arsenal a lot. They show up against the big club, and they completely shit the bed against the... No, actually, the Arsenal is really shit against the top 14, so... forget what I said. But no, I mean, they have to... they have to be... Hertha has to be careful. Like, you know, if Paderborn decide to show up that day, they could, you know, they could run them out of the stadium. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that sort of thing can always happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, the ball is round and the game lasts 90 minutes. After that, you can't really say anything.
A couple of own goals in 10 minutes, and it turns into another shit show and another 3-0 loss. So who knows?
The trouble is, the more often something like that happens, the bigger impact it has on the people's psyche. So if another thing like that were to happen again now, it would start eating away at their brain. And affect the way they approach things. That's a worrying thing. Not technically what they've done, but how it could affect them sort of psychologically, if that makes any sense.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point because, like, against Mainz and Paderborn, those are two really winnable games in a row. And if they cannot figure it out after those two games... again, let's not panic, but let's have a closer look at everything. You know, maybe some changes will need to be made during winter or something. I don't know, but I really hope they can win both the next two games. And if they do, it should be all right. If they don't, let's.
The other way of looking at it
let's reserve judgment until then.
The other way of looking at it, if they win both those games, especially if they win those games well, then you know the mm-hmm. sort of team psychology will lift, confidence will come back, and off we go from there. But all comes down to those games, really, and you know, see what happens.
I really didn't expect a critical turning point of the season to be that early, but it might be the case.
I mean, it could be. I'm not saying that it would be, but if they were to lose those, especially with some sort of major boo-boos involved, that's going to have an impact. But on the other side of the coin, everything else that's happened so far, if it all goes well, we'll just be forgotten and off you go.
Yes.
So whether you call that a turning point, I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah, it might be overstating it a little bit. Just a little bit. But
perhaps I'm just naturally pessimistic.
It's all good.
Right, we shall see. So, not sure when we're going to do the next one of these. It's part of the reason why I thought it was a good idea to sort of put one out now. Might be difficult because of timing and things, you know, after the Paderborn game, because I have to sort of dash back to London for my mother-in-law's 93rd birthday. So, no sort of podcasts and things after that. But we'll see how it all unfolds.
Shout out to her.
Oh. Hello, Ingrid. Hello.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she listens to the podcast. Something tells me that
she's not that mad. She loves sport, so she doesn't want to know about her.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. We went to a music festival in the Netherlands and things during August. It's not that interesting, but my mother-in-law comes from Rostock. And by chance, mm-hmm. we were talking to one of the barmen, sort of filling up the old drinking horn, as you do.
Nice.
And randomly, this guy came from Rostock. So sort of Veronica was sort of giving her mother's life story to this poor guy. It's funny how much of a small world it is sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
With her, I remember sort of having the conversation, because I couldn't believe that when she lived there... that there wasn't a football team. They had handball and what have you, but there was no football team. And it turns out Hansa Rostock was formed in 1965, which was a surprise that it was so young. But there you go.
Yeah.
I should have believed her. I was sceptical, I must admit, but there you go. She ought to know. She comes from there.
Cool.
Anyway, random is as random does.
So I guess this is it for this week. So you can find us at I'm saying us. You can find the podcast at the MTF podcast on Twitter. I am P Dupuis on Twitter, PDUPUIS. I am also P Dupuis 72 on Instagram. If in case you want to look at the pretty picture and pictures, sorry, plural. And Simon, back to you.
I'm there on Twitter with Econet 1892, the Don't Mention the Football podcast Twitter account is just DMTF podcast. And what else do we have? We're DMTF Podcast on Instagram as well. We have got a Facebook page, but we're not quite so bothered about Facebook. Let's be honest about it. So if you want to drop us a line...
You guys are on Instagram. That's true. Good call.
Yeah. If you want to drop us a line or suggest any sort of creative suggestions as to what DMTF really stands for, then drop us a line. Try to keep it fairly clean, guys. But other than that, I think this is a wrap.
So, yeah, absolutely. So have a good one, guys, and enjoy the international break. And
enjoy.
We will see each other in at the Olympiastadion against Paderborn, personally. But mine's game in the meantime. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So it's
goodbye,
it's,
guys.
It's goodbye for all of us. Right. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks.